Hello, and welcome to Revolutionize Your Love Life. Do you want to know more about love relationships, what makes them work, how to create the one of your best dreams? Do you want to be in a really healthy, juicy love relationship? In these podcasts, we will give ideas and practical advice to light your way. Whether you're looking for a love partner, already in a relationship you wish could be better, or leaving one that has run its course, there will be something to inspire, empower, and support you. Revolutionize Your Love Life is a fortnightly podcast where you will access the knowledge and wisdom of love experts and relationship coaches from across the world to help you find true fulfillment in love. I am your host, Heather Garbutt. Welcome. Hello, everyone. I'm here today with the lovely Kathy Hargreaves. She's a friend and a colleague in my local business group for Athena, and we've known each other for a number of years now. We're going to talk about self-love. What is it? How do you know if you've got it? And what do you do if you haven't? Welcome, Kathy.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for having me, Heather.
Shall I tell them a bit about you first?
Yes.
Kathy's a deep mind transformation expert. She's a rapid transformational therapist person, RTT, which is a wonderful process devised by Marissa Peer. She's an advanced conversational hypnosis person, an energy practitioner, which is the QRIT qualification. She helps women unlock their inner confidence by clearing out old patterns, reconnecting with their truth, and creating a life that feels light, joyful, and deeply fulfilling. She believes healing doesn't have to be heavy or overwhelming. It can be gentle, uplifting, and still powerfully transformative. She's trauma-informed, an intuitive healer. The rapid transformational work she does is amazing. She blends powerful mind work with intuitive guidance and helps her clients feel calmer, clearer, and even more themselves. I've experienced Kathy's work, and she has such a light touch that makes deep change. It's beautiful, Kathy. You're beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Tell me first off, what is self-love?
So self-love is, sometimes we think of it as selfish or indulgence, but really all it is how we relate to ourselves, how we see ourselves, how we respond to ourselves. So often we can think it's about doing big things, it's about self-esteem, self-belief, but actually self-love comes back really at the fundamental of how we treat ourselves, how worthy we think we are to be treated well. And so often we have formed these beliefs of how worthy we are of being treated well by the things that have happened to us in our life. And if we haven't had it modeled to us, it's really hard to know what self-love is. Sometimes we see it and we think they're selfish, those people that do love themselves. Sorry, Heather.
No, it's fine. So it's not something we're necessarily born with. It's something we learn along the way by how we're treated.
But we are born worthy. The fact that we are here, the fact that we are alive, the fact that we exist, we are worthy.
It's beautiful.
And we have had the message throughout life that maybe we're only worthy if we achieve things. Maybe we only got praise, recognition, acceptance if we did things well, or if we were quiet, or if we were the good girl, or if we were the good boy. Maybe if we got bullied as a child, we think there's something wrong with me. If our parents weren't able to meet our emotional needs, we think it's because there's something wrong with me. So we are all born worthy, but what happens around us, the messages we get, because as children, as you know, we just soak it all up. We're sponges. We accept everything that comes in, but we don't have the the ability, the brain function to be able to interpret it and decipher it for what it really is. We add our own meaning to it, and then we live our life from that meaning, believing it to be true.
Yes, I really get that. I see that so much in love relationships. I really see it in relationships where people feel like they've got to earn love or be a certain way to be deserving of love. And I think, the ways that you work, it's in love, it's abundance, it's self-worth, it's your ability to be effective in the world, to feel good as a human being, to be a good mother, if that's where you go. I see all of that in the realm of your work. So tell me, how do you know if you've got self-love?
I think you know by how, when you tap into how you feel and how you talk to yourself, how you interact with yourself. If you were to do something that you deem wrong, a mistake, do you beat yourself up? Do you criticize yourself? When you're trying to achieve a goal, are you doing it from a harshness? What's wrong with you? You should be better. You should sort that. They are not signs of self-love. Self-love is kindness, it's compassion, it's grace, it's space to say, oh, I did something, I'm not that proud of it. How can I make amends? Self-love, when
Oh,
you.
I missed a little bit completely there.
Did you?
Yes, it just went completely silent.
Oh.
So tell me, how do you know if you have self-love?
The best way to see if you have self-love is to see how you speak to yourself, how you interact with yourself, how you respond to yourself when things go wrong and when things go well. So if something goes wrong, if you maybe you say something, you think, oh, I shouldn't have said that. How do you respond? Do you give yourself a hard time? Are you a harsh critic? Do you say, you idiot, what did you say that for? And then ruminate and overthink and beat yourself up. Or do you give yourself kindness and compassion, knowing you're a human being and you're doing the best you can? And how can I learn from this? And what will I do differently? And it shows up, you can see it very loudly when we do something that we deem as wrong or that we worry someone else will think is wrong. But also, it's how do we celebrate when we do something well? Do we celebrate ourselves? Do we say, yay, well done you? Proud of you, or do we say it's not a big deal? Well, anyone could do that. Self-love really comes down to how we relate to ourselves, how we see ourselves, how we treat ourselves, knowing that we are worthy of love, especially our own love. So I think this is the biggest way you can see it. And it's really interesting when you do something, listen to that inner voice. Is it a bully? Is it, maybe a harsh parent. Whose voice is it? Or is it like a coach, a best friend? Because we always say, don't we, would we talk to our best friend the way we talk to ourselves?
No, very likely
Often
not. No. And it's
not.
interesting because you and I have talked about this quite a bit, and I see it in business women all over the place. They've always got a to-do list as long as your arm and sort of frowning and furrowed with all the things I haven't got done. But if you look in the other direction, and get them to just see, okay, and what did you manage to do this morning? And they'll list 16,000 things they got done this morning, but they don't count any of those. They only count the 16,000 they've got lined up for them.
Yeah, and as we know, our mind is negativity biased. It looks for negatives because it needed to before, or we needed to protect ourselves. But we have never lived in a safer time. We've never lived in a safer time, to take care of ourselves, to be able to do the things we need. So it really is about retraining your mind, retraining, focus on what you are doing well, celebrating that. And then you do more and you see more and you receive more. And it spirals up in such a beautiful way.
Yes, it's
So
really
tired.
lovely. And the thing that goes with that, that I've discovered through working with you, is that the feeling of confidence, the feeling of having more headspace, a wider perspective on things, strength and power, discernment, clarity, all of those things which really are so lovely. They're so refreshing. They're so calming. So instead of having, if you think about all those negative voices nagging, there's a much greater space within that just says, okay, there are 16,000 things to do. Which is the next one you want to do? Okay, let's do that one then. Which is so different, isn't it?
So different, and it changes your life, and it starts with the smallest thing. We don't have to overhaul life. It does. It starts with the smallest thing and compounds. But it does, it gives you that calmness, that space, that I can breathe.
And there's a very British thing, I think, and I don't know that it is only British, but I certainly experience it, that we're not really allowed to care for ourselves. It's a little bit guilt-ridden, it's a little bit shame-worthy. We're not supposed to have any feelings and needs. We're supposed to just get on with stuff. Maybe it's a hangover from the industrial or colonial ages. You just get out there and are valiant. Or you're the cliched old roles for women. You just stay home and are valiant. You manage it all. And it's quite a thing to feel that ancestral pressure not to really care for yourself. This is relatively new.
It is, and it's such, you talk about the ancestral, and there's all of that conditioning that's behind all of us. But there's also, even if you look back to your own childhood, there would have been so many times when keep quiet, your needs don't matter. Maybe you're made to look after siblings, or maybe you had to be you're a parentified, at a young age, and you had to grow up and like, oh, I have to be the responsible one. I can't have needs. I can't have feelings. And, we think back to all the times, I don't know, you heard, stop crying. I'll give you something to cry about. All of these kind of things. And you're like, oh, I can't feel my feelings. It's not safe. And so many people I see, they've just never been able to feel them and experience them. And they think they're wrong for having them. I worked with a client yesterday and so much anger in her because she had to just suppress it her whole life. And it's like, I can't let it out. Well, you can't keep it in because it's making you sick. It needs to come out one way or another. And I think that's the real benefit of self-love, of saying, I am worthy to feel all my feelings. They're here. Our feelings are the most real thing we have. They tell us when something's right, when something needs looking at or changing.
Yes. And I wanted to sort of touch into that. You're saying it turned up in her body. How does lack of it show up in somebody's life, body, psyche? Can you say a bit more about that?
Yeah, so the it, I think I know Gabor Maté talks about this, and there's another book, The Body Keeps the Score. If we do not express our emotions, they will be expressed one way or another. Our body will express it. And we see this so much, especially in women. I think Gabor Maté talks about this, where women couldn't say no. There is such a correlation with women with autoimmune diseases and inability to say no, not safe to say no. And if we don't express what's true for us, it will come out, and it's often the body that says. I think there's a line I can't remember. If I can't remember it, I'll mess it up. But it's something, if you don't let the emotions out, the body will weep, something like that. But we've not been modeled this. We've not been shown and told it's okay, it's safe. It's, cry as children, calm down, have a cookie. It's not that bad. It's like, let us all just be able to feel our emotions, because emotions are energy in motion. If we feel them, we let them out and then they can be released. But instead, we push it down, push it down, push it down.
And we touch on
Touch,
addictions
touch.
there just by the mention of the word cookie. You know, that there's a sense of wanting to change your
Change.
emotional state, and that can be by eating, it can be by over or underspending, over or under eating, you know, excessive exercise, drinking, oh, gambling. I mean, those are the big ones, pornography even. And they're all ways to give yourself dopamine or serotonin, which really shift your mood. But it's only a temporary fix, and the core issues don't go away. And if we can really care for ourselves underneath, then we don't need all of that self-destructive behavior, which is essentially stuffing it all down.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. And I believe it's Gabor Maté again. He says, don't ask why the addiction, ask why the pain. Because underneath it, like you said, we're just trying to change how we feel. But if we actually felt the feelings, they could pass through. But it's scary. We think, what if I can't handle them? And this is when they, find a safe place, a friend, someone you trust, someone trained to help you to release them. So they're not running the show anymore.
Yeah, it's really, really key. So, if we don't have self-love, how do we go about getting it?
That is such a great question. So I'd always say it starts with like the smallest thing. We don't have to do a radical overhaul. I now love myself. Can do if we want to, but it starts with the smallest thing, and I'd say tuning into us first. How do I feel right now? What do I need right now? And this is a mantra, and I say it to myself all the time, and I say it to all my clients. I say it to pretty much anybody I can say it to. Asking yourself in any moment, what do I need right now? And it could be, I need a glass of water. I need some fresh air. I need a bath. That's what mine keeps saying. I need a bath. And I say to myself, it's the middle of the afternoon, Kathy. Now is not the time for a bath. And I listen and I have the bath, and it's exactly what I needed. That warmth, that calm, the water. Our body knows what we need, but we don't listen to it. We're so in our mind all the time. We're so meeting everybody else's needs all the time most people don't even know what they need.
And that's a beautiful, simple thing that we can do. Actually, podcast number 12 is a feelings and needs meditation. So you and I are in harmony with this. And if you do that, I mean, and I think as women, we are absolutely wonderfully placed to have 2 minutes every now and again where we can go somewhere small, shut the door, sit down, just let nature take its course and listen to ourselves. And for me, you know, the list of feelings can be quite long in those moments. You know, I feel innumerable things and the list of needs. And sometimes there'll be immediate needs, and sometimes there'll be things like you say. Sometimes you couldn't have a bath if you're sitting in your car in a traffic jam and you say, I want a bath. That's not going to happen. But you can say, it's okay. You can have a bath now. You can have one when you get home. Won't that be lovely? And all of these little ways, and attending to your body is just a beautiful one because it's our whole nervous system. Having the bath is not just about getting clean. It's about getting headspace. It's about getting calm and that inner space to be able to think. Just to go off on a little bit of a tangent, when we're stressed, you know this as well as I do, I think, all of our blood goes to the back of our heads. So we're in our least capable selves. We're in fight and flight. We can't really think and we can't decide. And you really, really shouldn't decide when you're in that sort of stressed state. So you need those calming bath moments or a quiet moment with a cup of tea and a novel just to come back to yourself, to calm all of that down so the blood can come back to the frontal cortex. And then you can think, and then you can have your negotiations with your partner or discipline your children in a way that you'd prefer to rather than just yelling at them. Whatever it is, whatever it is. It's
Yeah. And I think it's like, what do I need? And when we do honor our needs, we build self-trust in such a beautiful way, a way that says, I listen to me and I take action on what I do. And it can be the smallest things, it really can be. And also there's the other side, which is the reframe of it, how we look at anything. So where you said about if you're stuck in traffic jam, you get to choose, we have the power to choose how we choose to see it. And one person will say, I'm stuck in traffic jam and this is such a pain and it's so inconvenient and I'm going to be late and all of this, which obviously stresses our body out. Or I'm in traffic. There's nothing else I can do right now. What's my favorite song? And I'll often just shout to my phone, hey Google, play whatever I want to listen to. And it starts playing music of my choice. And I turn it up loud. It's the same situation, it's the meaning we give to it. And that's where our power is. We are so powerful. We can ch literally change our reality. And it starts by, what do I need right now?
yeah, I don't need to stress myself further. That person cutting me up at the lights. Don't want to live in their world. Let them go. Don't get stressed. Put on your music. Yeah, beautiful. Really, really beautiful. So is there anything that gets in the way? You know, that because I'm sure there will be all sorts of things that come up with people that say, well, I can't do that because. And so please sort of talk to that a little bit.
That happens so many times. I mean, not least for women who may be mothers, have a job, have a house, have all the things, and men have it as well. But I think often women carry more. So we feel like we're pulled in directions all the time. And if I was to take time for me, well, that's selfish. And it's especially when people expect us to do everything, because people will always treat us how we let them. So if we've always done it, they will expect us to always do it. And they may not like it when we start saying, actually, I'm taking some time for me. But this takes a real commitment to yourself, a knowing I am worth this, I deserve this. I give to others and I'm going to give to myself as well. And some women say, I can't even give myself 5 minutes. I don't have time for 10 minutes. And this is going to sound harsh, but you absolutely do. And it is your job to make time for yourself. You're no good to anyone, burnt out. And from my own experience, I know how resentful I used to get doing everything for everyone. It's like, oh, I do it because I'm such a nice person. Well, actually, I did it because of my own inner insecurities. I have to do it for people so they don't leave me. But when I've done the healing work on me, it's like, oh, no, actually, I don't have to do everything for everyone else. They are capable. And they say this about children and older people, well, anyone, don't do for others what they can do for themselves, because you take away their ability to do their own thing. So I found that a really good shift for me, rather than let me do that. No, you're capable.
It's two things there, really, more than two, but let's do that. You don't want to disable people and look for your reward dopamine by doing that. As you give a gift, that's one thing, but if you actually take something away from somebody and it gives you something, then that's really not good, because it's a lose ultimately, isn't it? So what are some light ways? Oh, were you going to say more? What are some light ways we can develop self-love?
I think light ways could be Tuning into what you like, what's important to you. So you might have a favorite herbal tea, but your partner always makes you coffee. And you don't want to rock the boat and you want to be grateful, but actually you'd really like your favorite herbal tea. And I think there's that the small thing is just what would I really like? I think it all comes down to tuning into you. You might think, oh, I'd love to have a meditation practice, but I don't have time. Well, actually, I could do a 3-minute meditation so that I'm still giving myself what I would like. Or you might be someone like me, I love sleep. Early bedtimes make me very happy. And there used to be a time I was kind of mocked. Well, I still get mocked for it by my friends who stay up. But I know I love this. I know how good I feel when I do it. So, like the smallest thing, what's your favorite book? What's your favorite mug to drink out of something that just feels lovely in your hands? What's your favorite? I don't know, maybe it's cuddling with your children, but you're always too busy. Actually, self-love is saying this connection is important to me, or relationship with your partner. You know, that self-love, just to sort of see yourself through their eyes, maybe. There's so many little things we could do. A photograph on your desk of your favorite person, your favorite animal that you get to see every day. Just things that light you up, that fill up your heart, that just connect you in with love.
Yeah, at the moment I'm collecting all of the fruits. So we've had blackberries, we've got apples and pears now, but there's all of the nuts. You know, we've got horse chestnuts up the road, we've got acorns, and I just love them. I do that equivalent of the nursery school nature desk on my little shelf here, and I just love it, just watching the acorns change from green to brown as they ripen, and the pods of the horse chestnut split open, and that bright shiny brown underneath. Beauty is such a form of self-love as well. And you talk about the sleep. For me, having a really good pillow that suits me and quality bedding, it's just so important to me. If you put me in a messy bed with rough sheets, it you may as well put me to sleep on a cheese grater. You know, those sorts of comforts really matter. And I think it's important to just to take time to assess what really matters to you. You know, it might be the quality of air in your bedroom, or it might be whether you buy organic eggs or not. Might be that 5 minutes before all the kids are up, where you just stand in the back garden with your cup of tea. Those, so many different things, and they don't have to be expensive and they don't have to be consuming, but they can really speak to us. Can't.
Yeah, and they're all such amazing examples. And I think as we do them, again, notice that voice that's in our mind. Is it saying, oh, I love this? Oh, I deserve this. How wonderful. I'm so grateful for this. Or is it that voice going, oh, I really should have just had the coffee because he offered it to me? You know, because it takes away the pleasure from the thing if the voice is saying something negative and something contradictory. It's like, oh, we can't get the pleasure from it. So coming back to that, you are worthy. You're worthy of love, of self-love. You were born worthy. That's not gone anywhere. We've just been taught other things. And I think this is one of the most powerful things to realize. Everything we know and think and feel and do is all been learned behavior.
Yeah.
And we can unlearn anything we've learned and learn something new, learn something that feels good, that lights us up, that brings us joy.
Yeah. And then we can make our contribution in the world. If I feel like I'm not good enough or I'm bad, if I have needs, that's not going to get me anywhere. It's just going to get me undermined and inexpressive and unable to give my gifts. But if I actually validate all of those feelings and needs, I'm so much more powerful and expansive and able to generate goodness and create and give. It's lovely.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So often people think self-love is selfish. Oh, you're just thinking of yourself. Well, A, who else is going to do it? You are the center of your world. We are the center of our world. And if we don't give ourselves self-love, who is going to do it to the degree that we could? So that was kind of like the first thing. But also, we have, like you said, Heather, we have so much more to give when we are taking care of ourselves.
And let ourselves shine. And you talked to me before about positive feedback loops. Can you share a bit more about that too? Because I am fascinated by that concept.
So we're always getting feedback from the things we do, the things we say to ourselves. And the positive feedback, it all kind of starts with our thoughts. So if we were to say, for a positive feedback loop, I am worthy of self-love. I'm worthy of it. I know it. I'm doing something kind for myself. And then we receive it, it makes us feel good. And then we act from that good place. We act kinder, more helpful, more loving, which reinforces that self-love feeling. And then we do something else for ourselves, which is good, and we feel good. And it spirals around in such a beautiful way. Whereas the other side is, if I'm not worthy of it, I don't deserve it. We don't do anything nice for ourselves. Then we're angry, we're resentful, we're frustrated. We spread that out to other people. We get it back. But then we just spiral down because we just like, what's the point? Nothing changes. Everything's hard. It's all rubbish. And it spirals, but it all starts from like how we think, how we feel, how we act. So I always say, you know, come from that place of you're worthy, you deserve it, you are amazing. There's no question about this, even though your mind might come up with arguments. It's no question. And the more you do it, the more you believe it, the more you take care of yourself, the more you will feel better, the more evidence you will get. People respond differently. We know this, don't we? How what we put out is what how people respond to us. If I came on this podcast and I was like effing and blinding and it would be very different energy.
It certainly would. I'm glad you didn't.
But it's that, you know, what we put out and it comes from how we feel about ourselves. Everything we put out comes from how we feel about ourselves, and equally, everything other people put out comes from how they feel about themselves, which I think is always a powerful thing to know, that what they're putting to us is from them. What we're putting out is from us.
Yeah, and we don't always have to take
Such
in the
truth.
negativity personally. So how can people get hold of you? What's the best way?
So the best way, I'm on social media. I'm on Instagram as Transformation with Kathy. I'm on Facebook, Kathy Hargreaves, and I'm always posting, I'm always sharing things. I do masterclasses, I do webinars, I've got a free masterclass. Is it okay to share about it? So I've got a free masterclass, date to be confirmed, and it's called Ignite Your Butterfly Effect. And this talks about how one small shift ripples out that butterfly effect. Not, and I can kind of look at it from two ways. One is when we start being kind to ourselves, how we feel different, how we respond, how life changes. But equally, how when we do something different, that ripples out to the people in our lives. We model something new, which is really powerful. So I've got that free masterclass coming up. So if you follow me on social media, you'll get the details when it comes out. I'd love to like welcome anyone that wants to come. And then following that, I'm going to do a 30-day self-love activation. which I'm
Brilliant.
super excited about. And that's going to be daily things to do to start building this so that we just start loving ourselves.
Beautiful, beautiful work. Thank you so much, Kathy.
Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to have this conversation.
Yes, much needed. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life. I'd like to know what has been your biggest takeaway from this conversation. Do take a minute and share this with us and visit us on our Facebook page. You can connect with me personally on my email at heather@heathergarbutt.com. If you can think of someone who will benefit from listening to this podcast, please do share it with them. If you have any feedback on how I can improve it, please do reach out to me as I'm always keen to learn more. Thank you so much again for listening, and we'll meet again on the next episode of Revolutionize Your Love Life.